This is session 6 of the PDH Online audio course, Modern Closed Circuit Television Design. In this session, we hope to address questions of analog VCR time-lapse slow speed operation, analog on digital, that is hard disk, digital conversion and digital features and hard disk, and digital compression. Digital compression is a bit of a nasty topic. It makes my head hurt. I urge you to take it slowly. Hopefully, it will be presented in a lucid manner. You can follow what's going on without pain. Over-the-air TV uses a 6 megahertz channel. That corresponds to 12 megabits per second. The bandwidth and storage requirements can be reduced by diminishing the quality of the picture and the sound. 300 horizontal lines can be reduced to 200 lines or 100 lines. 20 kilohertz sound can be reduced to 10 kilohertz, 5 kilohertz, or eliminated entirely. Analog storage, or digital storage of analog signals, is defined by the resolution, that is bits per picture, and compression, reduced bits per picture, time-lapse interval, frames per second. The goal of all storage is minimum space, that is dollars, per hour, day, or month of storage. Analog and digital systems will be discussed at the same time, and digital majors will be used for both. There are illustrations following. In the written version, there is a gadget called a Panasonic time-lapse recorder with a price of $345, and the description says it features 8, 24, and 40-hour recording modes, with real motion time-lapse recording in 24 and 40-hour modes. High-density recording assures playback images nearly as smooth as standard play VHS, a valuable feature for applications where precise image inspection is required. So, that's single channel. Didn't mention that. That's implied by everyone. 8, 24, and 40-hour recording on a standard T60 tape. Next item, that was $345. This is $579. This is converts analog video into digital format and records them on a removable hard disk drive. That's very similar to the VHS tape on the first one. Matter of fact, the box looks the same as the one on the first one. You put away the VHS tape for archival purposes, you put away the removable hard drive. A little bit of incrementing cost. What else does it say? Allows you to quickly access and search for specific time segments. No more scanning hours of videotape because it's random access hard disk internally. Recorded video can be viewed frame by frame. Oh, the description that goes with the $579, one channel DVR with 80 gigabit hard drive for $579. Now, this technology is changing very, very rapidly. Not so much the internal technology, because it's fairly mature now. The storage technology looks like it's on some kind of exponential growth. In today's newspaper, this is July 2005, I saw an advertisement for 250 gig outboard hard drive for $200. So if you want a terabyte, you buy four of those, and they hook up by FireWire or USB. So any modern PC will support the external 250 gigabyte hard drive. And that's where we come up with this idea of $1,000 for a terabyte. Wow. Let me read you more description of this digital device we were talking about. Don't settle for recording long-term surveillance images on videotape. Record them digitally on removable hard disk with the state-of-the-art digital video recorders. With the included 80 gigabyte hard drive, you'll be able to capture, manage, and store 30 hours of real-time video, or an astounding 1,850 hours of time-lapse video. That amounts to nearly 80 days of round-the-clock video surveillance. Features include timer setting for easy searching, excellent recording quality, fast, slow, forward, reverse searching, many other user-friendly features. Other features include 30-hour real-time clock, 1,850-hour recording, on-screen display and real-time clock function, quick multiple search capability by date, time, alarm, and recording list, four adjustable video quality settings. Now, what does that mean? That's resolution. We can get more on the tape if we have a poorer picture each time we record it. 7 selectable record settings. I think that has to do with time lapse. The recommendation is something like 1 per second. More than 1 per second is excellent recording. Fewer than 1 per second, you're noticeably losing something. 1 per second is the place you start looking when you're making a decision. Alarm, panic, repeat, and timer operations. I don't know what alarm means on a recorder. Maybe that's a input contact that it makes the screen go red. I don't know what that is. We'd have to check into more detail. Emergency backup battery feature. Fast, slow, forward, and reverse searching function. Security password protection. Supports 20 to 120 gigabyte hard disk. Well, this one isn't going to work with that 250 I saw in the paper today, is it? So this is not quite current technology, but it sure has an attractive price. Available with and without audio recording capabilities. Something it doesn't mention, and it's a new feature, so it's kind of forgivable it doesn't mention it, but it's a new feature that you might want real bad, and you better ask, is watermarking. There are other words than watermarking, but what we mean is a chain of custody protection so that you can verify this is the same tape that was recorded. Nobody has been mucking around with it. Remember when TV Guide put Ann Margaret's head on, no, it was Oprah Winfrey's head on Ann Margaret's body. You can get some fantastic pictures out of these things, but it's not good to take into court. The last picture in this section, and I'm very proud of this because this is truly state-of-the-art. It's a Pelco DX9000 ViewStation Recorder Storage Unit. It is 3 6-inch rack sections. The picture is very interesting if you get a chance to get to a laptop computer, somebody on the internet, and go to the Pelco site and look for their DX9000. Real impressive device. Unlimited camera inputs. Now, that should be enough. Unlimited storage. Yes, yes, yes. 352 by 240 resolution. Whoa! What did that guy just say? 352 by 240 resolution. They will do everything you can imagine and give you a rotten picture to show for it. We're back to this thing on where did the bad resolution come from and why did we stay with it all our lives? Well, it's here. It's very really here. Reading again from this advertisement, individual units accommodate 8, 16, or 24 camera inputs at 30 images per second. 8, 16, 24, 32, or 40 cameras at 15 images per second. That's a lot. Remember, one image per second is a security kind of guideline. Instantaneous playback of all recorded images. This kind of came up in the discussion we were having for the prison. Maybe you don't want to have the supervisor go online. Just let him have access to the archival storage so it's being stored in real time, it can be played back in real time, and it looks like it's real time, although it's really coming off a recorded source. Now, is it going in and coming out simultaneously? Within thousandths of a second, so it's real time. Hard disk drive RAID arrays for video storage. RAID means that you can have a failed hard disk drive and you don't lose the images. You can replace one of a failed drive and the full image returns. Even though that information has been lost, it's backed up in the redundancy of the built-in system. Continuous scheduled or event-based recording. Easy playback, fast-forward search. $10,000 plus. Okay, we're going to remember something from this. First, that it's a beautiful device. It has all of the best ideas that are available in current technology and 352 by 240 resolution. The original IBM PC in 1983 was available with a color graphics adapter, CGA, that delivered 320 by 240. It was pretty bad. Back then, everybody agreed it was bad. But it was about the same as Apple, and it was cheap, and we kept buying them even though it was bad. It drove a conventional video monitor and a TV through an RF modulator. It was immediately, and this is within months of introduction, supplanted by third-party video cards and higher-resolution screens. IBM responded, after years, with a VGA card that had 640 by 480 resolution. That resolution is usable and is still widely in place. The discussion is important to you because it reveals some of the early compromises made by IBM that we suffer from today in 360 by 240 storage, or as the nice people from Pelco just told us, 352 by 240 storage. Broadcast TV contains non-image information on a few of the lines. So when we say 525 lines, that's not 525 lines of video information. There's other information in there. For instance, broadcast TV is capable of resetting the clock on your VCR because they put a time signal into one of those lines. They put some test information in for aligning monitors. There's all kinds of interesting things that's non-video hidden in a broadcast TV image. So all of those lines are not interesting to us on our closed-circuit TV. It's just counting down from 525 lines. Broadcast TV also suffers from raggedy edges on the sides. And without going into reasons for this, it's got to do with the... I just said I wouldn't go into it, so let's not go into it. It's got to do with the bandwidth of the amplifier. When you're going from DC, that is no signal, to a bright image, you have to have a sudden rise time, a step function, and it's hard to handle a sharp function, so you get a little ringing, and so the edges are raggedy. Well, IBM saved money and avoided the problems by underscanning the broadcast TV image. It clipped the top, the bottom, and both sides. The image did not fill the screen, but the screens have an adjustment on them for height and width, and you can increase the size of a small screen to fill the small image to fill the screen, whatever size you've got. IBM threw away the edges, and we can't have them back as long as we stay with CCTV. If we enter a new technology like this IPTV I keep talking about, we're starting over, and we're not using IBM's compromises. 320 by 240 is considered a standard resolution. 720 by 480 is available from some vendors, but now look at what's going on here. The image is only 525 by 300. They're going to store it in 720 by 480. What are they storing in 720 by 480 if all we've got is 525 by 300 of information? Well, they're storing a lot of empty space. So with engineering type calculations, which prove that this is an engineering course, 320 by 240 is 0.08 megapixels. So approximately 1/10 of a megapixel is stored for each non-compressed native video signal in the 320 by 240 form. If you go to 720 by 480, that's 0.3 megapixels. And if you use the exact numbers rather than the rounded values, it's 4.5 times the megapixel requirement for a single frame in 720 by 480 as it is in 320 by 240. Do you want to pay 4.5 times more storage space so that you have a little bit more resolution? I don't see that as a bargain. If you're interested in that, make sure you see them side by side. Make sure you understand the trade you're making, what you're paying, and what you're getting. Now, in fact, you wouldn't buy more storage. You wouldn't buy 4.5 times as much storage. You'd get 4.5 times less time on the same hard disk. Analog storage, well, that's done by time-lapse VHS recorders, which compress the image by saving a few out of the continuous series of frames. Modern technology permits selection of one frame every 10 seconds, one frame every 1 second, three frames every second, or 30 frames every second. 30 frames per second is no compression. One frame per second and three frames per second are standard security choices. I would call three frames per second high-end. That's real sweet. You don't miss anything. You get good pictures. It's pleasant to watch. Three frames per second is a really good compromise. One frame per second is jerky. It's not pleasant to watch. It contains all the information you need. If you print one frame out of a three frame per second, you print one frame out of 1 frame per second, you get the same picture. You don't get any quality in the printed version by going to more frames per second. You see more, and it's more pleasant to look at, but it's not any better technically. 1 frame per second misses a lot, but it's acceptable for large fields where the object of interest can't get past the camera in 3 seconds. Or slow changing events like stealing heavy materials manually, trying to haul them across the field. The compression ratio provided by 3 frames per second is 10 to 1. The ratio for 1 frame per second is 30 to 1. The ratio for 1 frame every 10 seconds is 300 to 1. And again, what we're saying is how many pictures you can get on a given hard disk. You can get 300 times real time using 1 frame every 10 seconds. Not recommended. 1 frame per second gives you 30 to 1. So if you had a 1 hour videotape using a 30 to 1 compression, you got 30 hours on a 1 hour videotape. Use an extended play videotape and you've got 45 hours. And that's the kind of thing we were talking about back in mechanical VHS time lapse recorder. Time date stamping is very important and it takes space. Also, it's more common for engineers to include guard bands to permit image overlap. So you may not get the full 30 to 1 improvement by using time lapse, because we really do want to store the time along with it. We either want to impose it on the image, which damages the information content, or we want to store it electronically with the image, which takes up storage space. Obviously, changing tapes once per day is acceptable. In addition to time lapse, oh, that's one camera only. That's not 16 cameras. That's not 4 cameras. That's one camera. Change the tape every day. In addition to time lapse compression, security VHS recorders now use slow speed operation. Instead of operating at whatever the standard speed is for VHS, it operates at 1 inch per second. And everybody thinks these are still mechanical, and they still are mechanical, but they're using electronics to slow it down. You're storing a little bit on the hard disk, then dumping it onto the VHS. A little bit on the hard disk, dump it on the VHS. Resolution is reduced, but higher net compression ratios are also produced. Resolution is lost by reusing tapes. Old tapes are bad tapes. They have a lot of white spots in them where you can't see what's going on in the image. They're called dropouts, and they just have reduced resolution. You can't see edges that you could see on a new tape. Digital video recorders can record analog information on digital storage devices or convert the information to digital format and record it on digital media. Time date stamp is handled more easily by digital conversion and with watermarking. Watermarking is the term for fixing the data so it cannot be changed without notice. It's important for video that's going to be used in court eventually. The joy of computers is that software can do anything you or the programmer can imagine. It's easy to simulate time lapse. It's easy to simulate 0.1 frames per second, 1 frame per second, 3 frames per second, 30 frames per second. It's easy to reduce resolution. It's easy to use image compression based upon the JPG standard. We'll talk about that a little bit. It's easy to adjust the JPG losses. You can have a lossless JPG form or a high loss JPG form with a high compression ratio. There are also proprietary compression schemes that require a license on each machine but produce even higher net compression ratios. Digital video recorder summary table. Now, up until now, these have all been words. What we want is something we can act on. What ratio do we need? What adjustments do we have available in setting up the digital recorder? How much storage are we going to get on a standard DVD? I really like the idea of DVD. It's 5 gigabytes of storage. You can carry it in your pocket. You can mail it to somebody. The media costs a dollar. You know, it costs money, but it sure doesn't cost much money. A beautiful storage medium. How much can we get on a terabyte of disk? Terabyte of disk is real easy to get. Doesn't hurt your budget a bit when you're spending $250,000. So what are the adjustments, what are the knobs, and what do you get from turning the knobs? So in the written report, there are 4 pages of tables considering different things you can adjust. First, how many kilobytes per frame? Now, the salesmen often say 15 kilobytes per frame. That is standard JPG resolution of a standard image. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. It's a good number to use for calculations. It's a starting point. Your experience may be different than this. Some salesmen will say 5 kilobytes per frame. I don't believe this. This sounds to me like stretching things in your own favor. But I did my table in terms of 15 kilobytes per frame and 7.5 kilobytes per frame. I feel very confident that 15 kilobytes per frame will be a recorded picture of a visitation room with people sitting there talking. I feel very certain that 7.5 kilobytes will be more than you'll use in a hall with nobody walking down it. So the first thing is, how much compression do you get out of it? Let's say 15 kilobytes per frame. Alternatively, let's say 7.5 kilobytes per frame. Now, that is JPG compression. How do you get your JPG compression? Well, you tweak a control in the digital video recorder. Remember, a digital video recorder is software running on a personal computer. There will be setup adjustments. One of your setup adjustments is JPG compression. Also, you can choose this by camera. You buy a cheap camera, you get compression because it doesn't have any high frequency response. It will not record high frequency information. It takes less storage to do it. Also, down the way, if you use one of these IP servers, IPTV servers, they have an adjustment on JPG resolution too, JPG compression ratio. It's one of the setup parameters you can get at so that you send less down the line, reduce your bandwidth consumption by the unit, and reduce your storage consumption on the other end, and obviously reduce the quality of the image along the way. In this table, I addressed the question of one camera, two cameras, four cameras, eight cameras, or 16 cameras. Now again, in my mind, I'm going to be operating this prison 24/7. I don't know where the problems are going to arise, but I know it's going to arise when I'm not there. And when I come in the next day, they're going to tell me about it, and I want to go back and look at the pictures of it. So I want to record all the cameras. I will only use the 16 camera column. Obviously, recording 16 cameras takes more space than recording one camera. So the analysis was done in one camera, two cameras, four cameras, eight, or 16. Now, in addition to this, we have a choice of no compression, 50% compression, 90% compression, 95% compression. What's this? I thought compression was already in the kilobytes per frame. JPG compression is in the kilobytes per frame. This is time-lapse compression. No compression would mean... No, I'm reading this wrong. There is a separate column here that says one frame per second is time-lapse compression. It's available with 0.3 frames per second as the other time compression. The compression I was talking about with the no compression 50, 60, 90, and 95 is the motion alarm compression. There isn't a good word for this, but it's a wonderful, wonderful feature. All of the new systems are set up so you can enable motion detection. Motion detection means it only records when there's a change from the last frame to this frame. If there is motion detected, it records it. If there's no motion detected, it doesn't record it. So once again, talking about this hallway with nobody in it, it may go for 4 hours without recording an image. Well, does that make you happy? Do you trust that nothing happened in that 4 hours? If you trust your machine, that's a great way to get 95% compression. If you don't trust your machine, you may go down to 90% or 80% compression, where you force it to record once a minute, whether it saw any motion or not. One of the effects that has is it resets the motion alarm, so you know, anyway, some people do that, and it's an optional choice. Now, with these knobs you can turn, that is kilobytes per frame, frames per second, and motion detection compression, what do you get out of it? Okay, using 15 kilobytes per frame, which is very conservative, using 90% compression, which is kind of reasonable if it's not a busy picture, you can get a whole month of one camera on one DVD. Well, that's not good enough. How can we get it on a DVD without the 90% compression? Let's say we only get 50% compression. Really and truly, very few parts of your building are used at night. You ought to get 50% compression with no trick at all. 50% compression, you can easily record an hour. You can easily record a day. According to this, you can record 15 days at 15% compression. So that doesn't look too bad. Now, I just circled the ones where it fills a hard disk. 90% compression with one camera looks right, 1 month. 95% compression, two cameras, 1 month. We're not going to get 16 cameras. Let's see what we can do for 16 cameras. 16 cameras is about 6 hours at no compression. It's about, oh my, I'm trying to do this head in my head and I shouldn't do that. At 80% compression, we can get 16 cameras for one day. So it doesn't look like 15 kilobytes per second. I'm sorry, 15 kilobytes per frame, one frame per second, 80% compression. It doesn't look like it's working very well for DVDs, but it works. I mean, it's possible, and you can pick a number off of this, and it's very nice if you can pick out the selected portions that you're interested in. Just put the selected portions on the DVD. Let's look at it in terms of a terabyte. How long does it take you to fill a terabyte? How many days can you get on one terabyte? Well, 16 cameras at no compression gets a little less than a terabyte. So the big system, the $1,000 worth of outboard storage, will support 16 cameras, no compression, one frame per second, 15 kilobytes per frame. So you can buy one of these, and you don't have to worry about motion sensing. You're recording one frame per second no matter what happens in the building. If you choose to go to 50% compression, use a little bit of the motion sensing to eliminate meaningless frames, you can get 3 months on the machine before it starts overwriting it. So somebody doesn't have to complain until 2 months later, and you can go back and see what really happened at the time. But it will start overwriting after that. And how are you going to save a terabyte of data? I don't know how you're going to save a terabyte of data. You can save portions of it very easily on DVDs. There are technologies that use tape to record these huge amounts of data. There are a lot of problems with them. I am not recommending you look into that unless you absolutely have to. Try to find a situation where you can live with the hard disk storage and overwrite it afterwards. Now let's continue down here a little bit. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum. Let's say we've got 7.5 kilobytes per frame. That's a low resolution picture. Let's talk about 0.3 frames per second. That's not a very good recording ratio. Let's talk about no compression up to 95 compression and see what happens. With no compression, 7.5 kilobytes per frame, kind of a rotten picture, certainly not a good picture, you can put a day's information on a DVD. So if you were willing to buy 365 DVDs, you could record 16 cameras, everything that happened all day long, no motion detection, compression taking place. What kind of money are we talking about? They're selling for a dollar now, so for $350, you could record your whole day. Bad news is you have to fuss with it every day. I don't like that much. I don't think it's going to happen reliably, and I don't think you're going to get your archival information. Chances are your DVD unit will die before too long also. What happens, let's answer the other question. How long does it take you to fill your terabyte? To fill a terabyte, let's see what this is. 12 months to fill the terabyte at 7.5 kilobytes per frame, low resolution picture, 0.3 frames per second, no motion detection compression. Whoa, that's looking pretty decent. To have a year's data from 16 cameras sitting there to go back to before it starts overwriting, that is pretty sweet. Okay, let's look in terms of the DVD. I'm going to look at the 16 camera section. A DVD will hold a month of data at 7.5 kilobytes per frame, low resolution, 0.3 frames per second, slow time lapse, 95% motion detection compression. So if a lot of your cameras are taking pictures of hallways with nobody in them, a lot of your cameras are taking pictures of rooms with nobody in them, you can get a month's data for 16 cameras on one DVD. Now, is this really going to happen? You don't know until you install it. You've got no idea what your motion detection compression ratio is until you actually do it. But these are numbers to start looking at. Is a DVD a good solution? Well, it handles a bunch of data. No, it doesn't handle months, and it doesn't handle years. It handles hours. Is a terabyte of data a good deal? Yeah. It's easy to record a month of no compression 16 camera on a terabyte. It's possible to record a year of no compression 16 camera on a terabyte. Terabyte is a lot of storage out there. This concludes session 6 of this course. In the next session, we're going to be talking about IPTV, the idea of instead of storing analog data, we're going to store digital data. Is it going to be different? Kind of yes, kind of no. Depends on how good our compression is, how much resolution we're asking for. Pretty much the same questions we just asked a moment ago. We'll talk about a camera with an integral server, so it goes on to the local area network. A multiple camera server, that sounds like some kind of a bargain if you've got a big system. Bandwidth requirements. Very, very important question for people who have to live with a local information technology group. Viewing the IPTV image. How do you get something out of the system after you've put it in with an IPTV camera? And finally, IPTV system design. Please join me for the next session.